Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. What are you doing, a maraca dance?
I learned that from the Three Stooges when I was like 10.
Okay, that's gonna tell you what kind of show this is going to be.
Special guest in the studio today, James Hedham.
Very special.
James Hedham, who teaches our prepper courses and survival courses and all of that cool stuff. We're going to talk post-storm, what was his name?
Jonas.
Jonas, that some bitch. 4 days extra I was stuck in Vegas. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I ain't paying $2,500 for a girlfriend for 2 hours. Okay? Every day I would go out and walk the strip. What a loser fest that goes up and down Las Vegas Boulevard.
That's for damn sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did they hand out the hooker cards, too?
Of course, of course. Nice. And then I would go into casinos at night and smoke a cigar, and the stream of women that would approach you looking for a date, hon.
They have a zip line that goes down.
They
have a zip line that goes down. It connects hotels.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like a 5,000-foot zip line up at like the 86th floor.
And you can do that?
I can't, but people can. Yeah. I aren't doing it.
Yeah, I aren't either.
But the SHOT Show was good, and I'll say it again. You don't need to go to the SHOT Show if you're not in the industry. You can go to the NRA annual meeting. This year it's in Louisville, Kentucky in May. And it's one-tenth the size of the SHOT Show. Same people showing guns and stuff, but it's geared to the consumer as opposed to the wholesaler or the retailer. But the Gun for Hire poker chips were a hit. James, here's a poker chip for you for being on the show. Only 5,000 of these. When we have the grand reopening of the new range, which will have 218 parking spaces and 54 ports, by the way, 4 VIP rooms and a couple other major surprises will be coming out. When we open it up, we're going to have some kind of game of chance, and how many poker chips you have will determine how many pulls at the game of chance you get.
And how do you get one?
Well, either I give you one out of the graces of my heart, or each one reach one, which Sandy's termed that. Every time you bring a new person to the range, if you're a member of Woodland Park Range and you bring a new person and you tell the ladies up front that you bring a new person and we fill in their sheet, we'll give you a poker chip until we run out. And you'll hold them. The grand reopening is tentatively scheduled for April of 2017. And next week we'll be having drawings online of the interior and exterior build of the building.
Very nice.
And everybody will get to see what we've been making and shaking on.
So almost just a little over a year from now.
Yeah, we're gonna start demolishing buildings on the property probably end of February, early March.
Do your tenants know that? Or
No, not yet.
They do
not,
now.
Not yet. But it's going to be fun. Vegas was okay for 3 or 4 days. I had Jimmy, John Uzzolino, and Rich Olenek with me. When we flew out, I made it clear that I didn't like them. After 4 extra days with them, I made them clear that I hate them. Okay. You know, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes,
and
it does.
You know, fish and house guests start to stink after 3 days.
That's for sure.
You know, I got tired. I came home from Vegas. The truth, I was 6 pounds heavier than when I left. The second day, I was only 1 pound heavier when I left. So I lost 5 pounds of sodium and gut weight from eating restaurant food 2 or 3 days a week, even though I worked out every day.
It doesn't matter.
You know? But I came back and I went back on my normal routine. And then by the fourth day that we were back, which is today, I'm back to pre-Vegas weight. So I feel really good about that. Now, next week, I'm having surgery and I'm removing all of this loose flesh around me.
Well, sure, you want to do that?
How are you going to, you know, what'll hold your glasses on then?
Yeah.
If you're in like a high rise building and it catches fire, you could just jump out the window and do like the flying squirrel thing. Stick out your arms.
Exactly. You know, there are a couple other things. You know,
of course,
fat people
are
hard to kidnap.
Guy would think of this shit.
Yeah,
right?
Fat people are hard to kidnap.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because I'm not fat anymore, right. I'm easier to kidnap, which bothers me.
Right.
So some really bad news. We found out that this week Abe Vigoda passed.
Yeah.
And for you youngsters, Abe Vigoda was on a hit show called Fish. Barney Miller, and then another hit show called Fish. But his monster claim to fame was he was Tessio in The Godfather. And the famous quote was, "Can you help me out here, Tom, for old time's sake?" And Tom Hagen said, "Sorry, Sally, I can't do that." And then he got whacked for being a traitor, like a Valachi. But we found out that Abe Vigoda passed away at 94 years old. And where did he live?
Woodland Park, New Jersey.
At his daughter's house in Woodland Park, New Jersey. So I called the mayor up and I said to the mayor, I said, "Yo, Tessio lives in town. Did you know?" He said, "Yes." I said, "When we had the grand opening 3 years ago, we could have had him here.
Yeah.
I would have paid him to come in to sign autographs or whatever.
Sure.
I think it would have been the coolest thing, you know?"
I know.
So I'm a little pissed off about that.
Well, you know, you get there's a lot of stuff you find out about the area. I mean, there are a lot of people who live in and around here that we just don't think of. I mean, Yogi Berra. Just it's so many people because of where we're situated.
And then I said to the mayor that we have a puddle in the parking lot. Your mop and get over here and mop it up. Okay? Isn't it something how Christie always shows his true colors when he loses his temper?
Yeah.
That woman got up and said, "Shouldn't you be in New Jersey? What do you want me to get a mop? You got to mop it up? Give me a Taylor and Egg sandwich now."
Yeah, it's true. It's amazing. There's a couple of them on the Republican circuit right now.
Oh, he's getting killed though, Christie, on that. What do you want to get a mop? Real quick, James, you got the whole show. Last night, Citizens for Safer New Jersey had their first meetup in Montville at Montville Executive Suites.
Wow, that's a surprise.
And Ron Sousa and his new dog, who replaced the deceased Luna, Liberty. Belle is her name.
Nice.
Okay, you call her Liberty. Liberty and I got to hang out, and Rich Pitkevis and Scott, they made a presentation, and then I went up and I made a presentation and answered questions too, and he had a good run. He had 20-something people sign up for it. And
very nice.
Ron graciously donated his facility, and I got to speak, and I got to meet new people, and he's going to be having more of these events, so kudos to Rich. We've been supporting him from the beginning. Him and Citizens for Safer New Jersey, which is Matt Andreas, they're the two small families of the five families are the only two that agreed to the five families sit down. Okay.
Nice.
NRA, ANJRPC, and NJ2AS did not agree to the sit down.
Wow.
Bitches.
That's a surprise.
But it went really well. And if you don't know it, his Facebook page is C4SNJ. The website is C4SNJ. And give Rich a shout.
C4 like the explosive?
C4. Right, yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Real quick news, because James, you're going to take over the next thing. Christie vetoed the smart gun bills. The next day, the Senate introduced two smart gun bills, the same identical bills.
Boy, they just changed the verbiage and the numbers.
Jackasses.
Wow. Coming back. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappin.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Nappin, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so while you were in Vegas, Barbara Mikulski, Democrat, surprisingly, out of Maryland, was testifying before the House Senate subcommittee on whatever, keep guns safe or some nonsense like that. And she kind of showed her true colors and the true colors of that progressive side when she argued not to get tied up in that silly thing called the Constitution. Would you like to hear her?
Yes.
For so many of people who are victims of gun violence, the
gun violence.
Volatile combination
gun
of
violence?
Mental illness and
gun
access to guns
violence.
Are dangerous. So let's solve the problem. Let's not get involved in constitutional arguments.
No.
And let's help our American people be safe and secure in their home, their neighborhood, their school, and their house of worship.
Let's not get involved in constitutional arguments.
It's a living document. It can be changed. Because it's on the computer now, and you can use edit keys.
Yeah, so we can't exactly. Keep ourselves safe in our homes with guns.
No.
Against the mentally ill who unlawfully obtained them.
No, that's it. No,
idiots.
That's terrible. What's wrong with you?
Seriously.
My goodness.
God damn.
Just too much.
Is there more?
No, that's it.
She's dumb.
Isn't that enough?
She's dumb.
Hey, people in Maryland, you elected this. So, and we have a very large listenership in Maryland. Why? I just ask why.
You guys out in the 49 other states, here's a quick story. This is a friend of mine. His name is Carlos Bellario. And Carlos is a stand-up comedian, and he's also a small bit actor. And this company was filming a Egypt production, Epix Productions was filming a movie called Vendetta Games down in Woodbridge. And the producer gave Carlos a prop gun, and they reenacted a chase scene through Woodbridge without permits, by the way.
Oh, well, there's the issue.
So Okay. Neighbors saw Carlos with the prop gun. They called the police. They pulled him over. And it wasn't really a prop gun. It was a BB gun that the producer provided.
Ooh, that was the prop
and,
gun?
Carlos got arrested for possession of a firearm.
Yep.
And
he illegal
spent four
possession.
Days in Woodbridge jail. And now he faces 5 to 10 years behind bars for possession of a firearm.
Only in New Jersey.
Okay.
For the possession of a toy.
Correct. And this is where we stand in New Jersey.
Did they know that they were filming a movie?
Yeah, they told the police and everything.
Really care,
but still, he had a BB gun, which is possession of a firearm in the
true.
State of New Jersey, James.
Very true. You know,
that's
a Crossman
crazy.
BB gun.
Yes.
Is
so what happened was the producer said they was going to bail him out, never showed up. The police called the producer, never returned any phone calls.
Because the producer don't want to go to jail.
So since Carlos has the gun on his possession, that's all there is to talk about. He's the guilty party here. So he's looking at 5 to 10 years in prison. So this will be another one that Christie will probably have to step in and pardon because Democrats would rather see him go to jail.
Oh, of course, because he had possession of a toy.
You have to make an example out of such
and shooting a movie.
Nefarious individual.
Correct. And this is the shit we have to deal with all the
Meanwhile,
time.
Meanwhile, ISIS is lopping off the heads of people in Edison. It's no big deal. It's fine. Everything's good. Nothing to see here.
Now, 24 guns were intercepted by the TSA in 2015 in the three New York metropolitan airports, okay? 10 at JFK, 5 at LaGuardia, and 9 at Newark Airport. Listen, people.
Which begs the question, how many got through?
Yeah. Now, the year before, there was 19 guns, so it went up another 5 guns. I don't understand. I just don't understand how you have a gun in your bag.
Right. And forget about it.
And I would imagine No, it can't be. It can't. It could be somebody maybe driving from Pennsylvania,
right? Because, dropping someone off or picking them up.
They didn't get too into it there, but people, please, you know, I talk about this all the time. That don't use your range bag as your overnight bag.
Yeah.
Because there could be spent cartridges or live cartridges in it. If they swab that bag, you are getting a cavity search. Okay, so listen to me.
Yes,
I travel
sir.
A lot, and I have a carry-on bag, slash, and then I also have a check bag.
Right.
Those bags never leave my apartment except when I'm traveling.
They don't go to the range.
The other day, I'm in the back office, and Sivan, who's the manager of my retail end, he was in the range shooting a couple of rifles. And then he was leaving, and he pulled his hoodie up over his head, and three spent casings came flying out of his hoodie.
Wow.
Okay? I've seen executives leave here with spent cartridges in their pants. What's it called?
Oh, in the cuff of their pants.
The cuff of their pants. People get stuff in their hoodies all the time. Your range bag can catch, you know, empty shell casings that are flying back. I've had guys tell me. Yes, I've had guys tell me.
You pick them up in the treads of your boot.
Oh, yeah, sure.
One of my guys, not my guys, one of our customers said that he were getting ready to go through TSA, and he wanted to find something to get it out of his bag, like his iPhone, and he reached in, and he had two magazines. For a Glock 17, he had 10-round magazines in his bag. I said,
filled
what did you,
or?
No, empty. I said, what'd you do with it? He goes, I threw them in the garbage. Yeah. I had to catch the flight.
Yeah.
I threw them in the garbage. Right. So, you know, those
even though
bags,
they're inert and there is no gun involved, it still wouldn't matter. It would have been,
correct. Who knows what would have happened?
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
So, you guys, don't intermingle that stuff. It's very, very important, you know, that you have to keep your stuff separate, your bag separate. You put your bag on the shelf or a bench and you're touching your dirty guns and now you touch the straps or the handles of your backpack or your gym bag or your whatever. And now you want to use that same bag to fly. Don't do it. Real quick story for new listeners, Sherry Spivak, who runs Saw Group, she's 5 foot nothing, and she had a perforated Under Armour hat on that she always wore to the range shooting, and her and her kids were flying to Disney World in the Newark Airport. Her hat tested hot for explosives.
Oh, because of the cord.
They missed their flight.
Sniffing machine.
Really?
Yeah, well, she's 5 foot tall. She's shooting in indoor and outdoor ranges, and us 6 foot three guys are shooting. The powder and stuff that comes out of the gun, when it falls to the earth, it goes on her hat.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay,
right.
You're going to have it on your shoelaces. You're going to have spent cartridges stuck in the lugs of your boots. These are little things you just got to. You got to be like, you know, you got to be like check Charlie here. You got to go through everything and go, okay, am I not intermingling stuff?
Right.
Got to keep everything separate. Very, very important. Very important. And make sure, like, I fly with my tactical pen all the time. You know, I've taken pictures of my everyday carry. I checked my bag going to Vegas, so I had a knife with me in my pocket. I had my Phoenix flashlight. That's not a problem. But you just want to make sure that you don't have anything. God forbid you have a couple of live rounds. What if one of those live rounds is a hollow point?
Right.
This is New Jersey.
This is New Jersey.
A 22 Stinger hollow point.
Right.
James, you have a young son, and he's in the Scouts.
Yep.
And you like to do father-son things with him because you're an outdoorsman, right?
Yeah, we got the Klondike Derby this weekend,
All right, could you imagine if you had a 22 Stinger round somewhere in your bag as you were going through TSA?
Oh, you're done. You're not going anywhere for quite a while.
They'll take your son away from you.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, in this state, they would.
For many people walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction and bullets can't escape.
When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom. And go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.
Sorry, I couldn't hold it.
Waldorf Chiropractic. Dr. Eric is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. If you or anyone you know need chiropractic help, please support those who support us, Waldorf Family Chiropractic.
You're making me laugh.
He also published a book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You.
I find out so many
of our listeners, you know, you guys don't know it, guys and girls listening, but during the break, I may do off-the-wall things.
Off-the-wall thing? You might not.
So
usually 5 seconds before we're through.
So
someone says stand by.
Keeps them on edge. So every day I find out more and more of our listeners support Dr. Eric. And when I confirmed James from the show yesterday, he has a Waldorf Chiropractic story. Now, I asked Dr. Eric a long time ago how many times has he adjusted someone and have they passed gas and farted? Because I would like to go to him all gassed up, and every time he touches me, I'd fart, you know? Let him earn his pay, you know?
Those of us who know you, no one needs to touch
you. Before I go to the hygienist to have my teeth cleaned, I eat a half a loaf of garlic bread and a whole sleeve of Oreos, and then I walk right in the office.
Oh, you don't eat spinach, too? Eat some spinach, too, man.
I'm like, hi, Doc, I'm here for my cleaning. So Dr. Eric told me a funny story. He said when he's adjusting somebody and they fart, they'll be like, oh, excuse me. He'll go, don't worry. When you get my bill, you're going to shit. Okay? So I think that's hysterical.
That's hilarious.
Know? Right? It's hysterical. So, James, share your Dr. Eric story.
I've got a chiropractor. He's less than 5 minutes away from me, and he's pro-2A, but he's not nearly as involved as Dr. Eric. So I'll drive the 20 minutes to go see Dr. Eric.
That's wonderful.
I'm there this past Wednesday, and not to reveal too much about my personal effects, but to build up to something here, I'm wearing tan-colored boxer briefs, right? And it was a long day. My pants are probably sagging down a little bit, but I'm laying there on the table. He asks me where I want the electrostim pads, and because that's part of his routine, he'll stim your muscles and put the heavy hot towels on your back. In fact, most of the times I'm there, I'm falling asleep
on the
table.
He's very thorough, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm falling asleep on the table.
A lot of
so
chiropractors
relaxed.
Are assembly line.
Right. So I tell him to do my middle back. So he can't go down the collar of my shirt. He's got to go up the back. So he untucks my shirt and grabs a hold of my shirt. He untucks it from my pants. He grabs a hold of my underwear, thinking that it's my T-shirt. And naturally,
gives you a wedgie.
He's got
an atomic wedgie.
He's got to untuck the T-shirt, right? So I feel tug, tug, tug. And before I can say anything, you know, the T-shirt's not moving to his efforts, so the logical course of action is to apply more force.
As a man would do. Did he get the waistband over your head?
Oh, man.
If the waistband came to center of back, it's an atomic wedgie. If it was over your head, that's a super atomic wedgie.
It was atomic.
Oh. All right, so the doc is listening. The doc is listening to this now and cringing. He wants to kill us now.
Did you find you could sing Frankie Valli or falsetto songs after that, or no?
I didn't try. I was laughing too hard. So I go, yo, what's going on back there?
You know,
Doc, where's your other hand?
He was very apologetic after we both got done laughing about it. He was very apologetic. He says to me, you know, I've seen leopard print, I've seen zebra print, but honestly, I've never seen tan before. I thought it was your T-shirt. And then he charged me more.
Of course.
Of course he did.
Of course.
Why
pain
wouldn't you?
And suffering.
Of course, that's right.
So I spoke about you a few weeks before the storm because I found this product on Amazon.com.
What's this?
And I'm going to give you one today. I'm going to give you the whole package, as a matter of fact. Don't touch. It's made by, and you, for you listeners, when the new Gun for Hire radio site goes up, we're going to have pictures of everything. But the product is called Eton, and it's Blackout Buddy H2O, and it's approved by the American Red Cross. They look like floss packages.
Yeah, they do.
You like add a drop of water, floss, yeah, and they light up like your Lumalite, right? Was it Lumalite? Sealum.
Yeah.
Okay, people found hard to find, and then they found they were out of stock. So that package is for you now, because I want you to test them, so the next time you come back, you tell us what you think of them.
Yeah, we'll do. Definitely.
But I bought a few packages of those. I gave Sandy some the last time we talked about it, and a few of them are going to be in the package for Tony Simon for the diversity shoot.
Oh, nice.
For giveaways. Yeah. I bought extra ones, but I have not tested it yet. I haven't opened the packages up, James, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah,
this is something you can probably... And I want you to test one with saliva.
Okay. See if it works.
Yeah, because if you have it in your pocket, it's as big as a cigarette lighter, or if it's in your get-out bag and you don't have any water,
right?
Can you? I don't know. It says it only needs one drop of water, and it'll last 72 hours, and it's safer than candles or matches. Now, the Sealum will last forever. I don't know. It says 72 hours continuous. Keep one in your purse, backpack, briefcase. This is a great gift for the kids in the dorm and everything.
So once you start it up, it goes until...
I guess. I didn't really read the fine print. That's why I have the expert here.
Oh, okay.
And I want him to test it, and he has a class coming up when? In February?
Yeah, February 20th, I think.
So he'll probably be on after the show,
great. Perfect.
And I want to discuss that product a little more.
Yeah, that's really pretty cool. I put it right in my bug out bag.
Yeah, I just think it, but you didn't test it.
Yeah,
we don't know what it's like. And I look at it this way. It comes in a 3-pack, so one should be for testing, and then the other two should be for storing somewhere. That's how I look at it.
It's called Blackout Buddy. I thought this is what you use to pick up girls.
Nice. James, by the way, James doesn't even know. His class is February 27th.
Oh, 27th.
It's February 27th. So we might have him back on before then. We'll see what my schedule after surgery and everything. So post, what was it, Joshua?
Jonas.
I don't know, because I was in Vegas. So I don't know. I heard it snowed here. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, it was a dusting.
A little bit.
I've read 3 people died from carbon monoxide poisoning in their cars.
Yep.
Cars running with their tailpipes blocked because of the snow.
About this?
And the first thing I think about is James had him thinking about a carbon monoxide detector for your car.
Right.
Hit it, James.
Well, there we go. And you know, this isn't really only a blizzard of events possible scenario. If any time that you're running your vehicle to try and stay warm when the windows are up, let's say that it's not very windy outside, that hot exhaust is going under the car and it's rising, so that CO is seeping in wherever it can. They call it the silent killer. So it doesn't apply to only blizzards. It applies to any time that you're trying to stay warm with your car running. But yeah, that's exactly it. If you had a CO detector in your vehicle, you have to be well aware of the fact that you're it's a silent killer. It's going to come get you.
Because it's not really hard to block up your tailpipe.
No, the snow builds up around the car.
The drift blows.
Or if you backed up, you're trying to get in and out of a spot.
Right, and
you back up. And now you're waiting for your Uncle Joe to come with a shovel to help dig you out or something. The car is running. Mm-hmm. And the way the silent killer works is you just start to feel a little drowsy.
Right.
And you fall asleep, and you never wake up.
That's it.
Exactly.
That happened to me once at my house. A friend of mine was over, and we were just hanging out playing games. I was a teenager at the time, but the exhaust pipe from the furnace had fallen off.
Wow.
So the furnace was just venting all the exhaust into the crawl space, and it was seeping up into the house. And I'm like, I'm kind of tired. And he's like, yeah, me too. So he was about to leave. I walked out the door with him, and I got that breath of fresh air, and I was like, when I turned around, I saw how hazy it was inside. Had I not gone outside in that moment,
we wouldn't be talking.
That would have been it.
Yeah, we didn't have carbon monoxide detectors when you were a kid. We just got retarded.
Right, yeah, just
our grades dropped.
Which happened anyway.
Yeah, well, every time my father slapped me in the back of the head, they say I lost like 10,000 brain cells. I only have like six left.
I know. I'm surprised they can talk.
Another thing about that is houses are built much more airtight nowadays.
Yes.
They don't have drafty windows. Ask your grandparents about drafty windows.
Correct.
So grandparents, I remember those.
Anymore. So it's more common that people are dying from carbon monoxide in their home
now. There was a rash of carbon monoxide deaths after Jonas as well in a lot of inner city areas in houses and apartments.
A lot of people use heaters. They bring in heaters into their house. Yeah. I mean, kerosene.
Kerosene's going to make your house wet too. A lot of moisture.
Yeah.
But I read about the three deaths in the cars. First thing I thought about was, oh my God, you need a carbon. And that should be. Now, these people, you know, this is the reason why we talk about having a ready bag or a go bag in your car.
Yep.
These are unnecessary,
and not
tragic
in your trunk either.
And preventable deaths. The amount of money that people spend on bullshit, eating out, and toys and makeup and guns and all of other shit we buy to buy a carbon monoxide detector for your car and have it in your go bag or something. You know, we're talking $30.
Right. They don't make one specific for. I know we talked about this the last time, right? You were thinking about.
I don't think so. But they do have a battery backup for if power goes out. So that would be one way of utilizing it. The other thing would be to have one of those small power inverters, plug that into the power outlet of the vehicle. Now you've got 120 outlet off the inverter, and then you could plug it in as you normally would. That's how I do it.
Everybody should have a power inverter. They're so cheap.
Yeah, they are.
And a carbon monoxide detector is not going to draw a lot of current. Look at the current that it's going to draw. Buy a power inverter that's compliant. A lot of the new cars have an AC outlet in the car.
Right.
Now, mine has one in the back of the car, but I don't, because it's in the ashtray, I don't think you'd be able to plug a carbon monoxide detector, and you'd have to get a small extension cord.
Right, and just plug
it in. And it's a household extension cord without the grounded outlet.
Right.
You know, if you had to be honest with the carbon monoxide detector, if you had to break the grounded outlet off, it would still work.
Yeah.
And have it sitting in your car. I mean, we've all done that, haven't we?
Yes. From time to time. Yeah.
We've all done that. I mean, it's not like you're plugging in a refrigerator or an air conditioner with a compressor or something.
Yeah, it's very, very low voltage after.
So James, talk about how did you handle Jonas? What are some of the tips and tricks you have for people? What did you have in your car that you could pull out? Because I expect you to be like Superman. Like, if I'm stuck in the snow, you should be able to pull up and you should be able to hand me all kinds of shit and have a Swiss Army tool that'll get me out of the snow.
It's
and
a human Swiss
bit.
Army tool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's how I look at it. People ask me for gun answers all the time. I ask him for this.
Right.
And we're going to come back. You're on the hot seat when we come back.
I'm on the hot seat.
Everything I do going to be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
Segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Ron Seuss's place is right off of Route 46. If you're going up 46 West, you make a right on Changebridge Road. It's right on the right-hand side. What a beautiful facility.
This does nothing for people in Arkansas.
I don't care.
They don't know Route 46.
But people should support them. More and more of our listeners, like Alexander Rubian from NJ2AS, use the space from Ron. We met in that meeting room last night. Ron is just so accommodating. He stood there the whole time. Citizens for Safer New Jersey is having a thing later February. Who's supplying the space? Yeah. Ron Sousa.
Yeah, he's the best.
Well, you know, oh, by the way, so Montville Executive Suites, montvilleoffice.com. I'm going to segue right into this, as a matter of fact. So, Ron Sousa, please support those who support us. Get your loser-looking ass out of the Starbucks or the other coffee place with your laptop, or out of your mom's basement eating her food and having her do your laundry.
Nice.
And go to Montville Executive Suites for as little as $58 a month. You can have a professional presence. So, while I'm talking about that, John Willett has set the date for the next New Jersey SafeCon conference. James, you're going to be at this, so save the date. Believe it or not, it's going to be July 30th at the Parsippany Hilton.
Nice.
July 30th at the Parsippany Hilton. We will be doing Gun for Hire Radio from there, I hope. Gun for Hire will have a booth. We already paid for our sponsorship. RTSP did. I saw Jen from the Bullet Hole at the SHOT Show. She's on board. FSS is on board. This is going to be a big one because it's not 2.5 hours south anymore.
Right.
Everybody now save the date. This is going to be our independence event, okay? July 30th at the Hilton in Parsippany. Now, John is going to be offering two classes for lawyers to get CLE credits. They're going to be taught by Evan Knappen and another attorney. Guess where those classes are going to be held that weekend?
Gun for Hire?
No, Montville Executive
Suites. Wow.
Ron graciously donated his meeting room for those two CLE classes.
Well, he's not far from Parsippany.
No, and because the Hilton wanted like $1,000 for the day for a side room.
Oh, my God.
From the main event room, you know. They wanted a minimum $1,000 commitment. So I said to John, I said, well, let's bounce it off Ron. I didn't even get involved. He emailed Ron. Ron was like, yeah, the date is booked for you guys. Wow. I mean, that's the type of people that we have here.
Yeah, he's been with his show since he was one of our
from the beginning.
First advertisers.
So NJ SafeCon 2016 has been set. It's July 30th. We won't have to deal with a storm like we did last time. It's going to be northern based, which, let's face it, where the majority of the businesses are. I want to see everybody there. Red Dot Firearms will be there. Simon Peter, every gun shop, every gun range. And you people that listen to the show, if you have a 2A business, if you're a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, a roofer, or whatever, you owe it to yourself for a couple hundred bucks to get a booth there.
Right.
Because now we're up in Parsippany, we're in the north. Let people know that you're the vinyl siding guy that belongs to the NRA and you support all the Second Amendment organizations.
Or the bakery.
Correct. Right. Let's fill the place up. And if you can't, donate something and get your ass in the program.
Right.
Call John up and say, I want to supply bagels for the day. I want to supply this for the day. Can you advertise my business? I want to write a check for $200. Can you advertise my business? So, njsafecon.net. Save the date, July 30th. James is going to be there. He's going to be doing some stuff in the Gun for Hire booth. We're going to have him maybe lay out a few of his go bags or something like that. He doesn't even know it yet. See how I put people on the spot? He didn't know that he's doing this.
No, I didn't. But I know it now.
But he is doing it, okay? So, James, talk a little bit about your Superman techniques for this Jonas.
You know, we talk about this in the class, and one of the aspects of preparedness is, you know, just your physical preparedness. But in deeper than that is your mental preparedness. As I was dealing with the storm, first of all, I work in public transportation, so I have to be to work before the storm gets there, and I got to stay through. So from Saturday morning, 2 a.m., till Sunday night, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I was going with like 4 hours of sleep. And then I go home, I got to take care of my driveway and clear my place out. And I've got a right-of-way that's, you know, 300 feet long, so, you know, so I'm out there. What I had done, I had the snowblower ready to go. I had it pre-started and tested in November. I had it covered in a tarp, but it was so windy with Jonas, it blew the tarp off. Right? I had it held down with bricks. So this is what happened. I get out there, the thing is packed with snow. The throttle is jammed because it's frozen with snowpack and ice around it. And then after I finally got it going and started, one of the bricks that was holding down the tarp had been moved in front of
the brick,
the augers. So I'm not, you know, I'm punchy as it is from going all weekend. I start the thing up, I roll it forward 3 feet, the auger hits the brick and it snaps the shear pin.
Oh man,
right? So
fingers are frozen,
right? The wind is blowing.
Now you got to get a drift punch and a hammer.
Not, well, they usually pop out pretty easy
sometimes,
but you have to have that. A lot of people don't even know about the shear pin,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have the spares. So I had the spares. So I went forward and I did that. Get halfway down the driveway, a branch had been knocked out of the tree, and it was under the snow. Under the snow, couldn't see it. You know, we had like 24 inches of snow, couldn't see it, and there was no bulge in the snow telling me that there was something there. It hit the branch, broke another shear pin. But fortunately, I had the shear pins in my pocket and the wrenches and everything right there. So knowledge and knowing.
Like a pit crew, ready.
Yeah, knowledge and knowing how to do it. I don't got to drag this thing back to the house to fix it. I've got everything with me. So, you know, your mental preparedness, your knowledge, being able to, you know, stick with it in that in the face of that adversity. Here it is. It's snowing. I'm up to my knees. My, you know, my feet are wet and all this other stuff, and I broke
no
through
sleep.
Twice, and no sleep.
Yeah.
Keep on going, keep on pressing. So your mental preparedness is really a big part of all that. And then just knowing what equipment that you need and knowing your own equipment, doing those pre-checks ahead of time. As for, like, go bags, what I tell my students is that your go bags should be good for three seasons. So spring, summer, and fall. And then for winter, rather than cycle out your summer clothes for winter stuff, your summer clothes is still good for layers. So you keep that bag as set. And I've got like one of those drawstring bags. I make that as a winter augmentation pack. So in there is my extra socks, my thermals, hat, gloves, body warmers, hand warmers, toe warmers, things of that, everything winter related. And then that could just gets lashed onto my go bag. So now they're combined.
Very smart.
Right? So that just makes it easier. I don't have to cycle my stuff out. I don't have to worry about it. And one of the most important items that I had during Jonas was extra socks. Believe it or not, because, you know, your boots are getting wet. I'm blessed with an excessive amount of sweat glands in my feet to begin with. So my, you know, not to brag or anything, but, you know, my socks get wet pretty easy, especially when I'm out there, you know, huffing and puffing and working and throwing snow. So, you know, being able to change your socks and keep your feet dry is very important. You're going to end up with blisters. And then once you can't walk,
you're done.
You're done. That's it. You can't go anymore. It'll be a painful experience just to move.
Walking Winston, I have insulated waterproof Columbia boots. I bought a full-length parka with a hood like Kenny from South Park, and I bought Columbia mittens. I have the what's it called, balaclava, the thing you pull over your head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, balaclava or
bank
something.
Robbery mask.
Yeah. I put that over. I can walk Winston in 10 below windy weather for 5 miles.
Now, silk is another trick. It's a good wicking material.
Yes.
You have like silk gloves that you would put on inside your gloves,
yes,
or even like a silk sock.
But I found the mittens because the gloves, you know, I'm holding his leash, my hands would start to freeze.
Great. They're just,
and, you know, it's good to have it. And James makes a good point. Silk gloves under mittens, because if you need to have dexterity and like changing the, you're not changing the shear bolt with mittens.
Right.
Definitely not. Well, you could, but then you're going to get caught in the auger and get pulled.
Right.
You know, something's going to happen.
Right, something's going to happen.
So these are the things to think about. Now, I'm going to scare the hell out of you, James, because your son is how old?
14.
So someday he's going to drive, so that should scare the hell out of you, because I raised stepsons who someday drove, and it's a scary proposition.
Right.
What would you put in your son or daughter's car at 17 years old? What would you throw in the trunk that they'd say, Dad, you're stupid? But seriously.
They're going to say it. That's
seriously.
Right.
Well, first they would be bitching and moaning that I have them out there changing a tire that doesn't need to be changed, just to give them experience to learn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. See that? Now, how many parents would do that?
Right.
Now, how many parents would tell their son or their daughter,
well,
this is what you need to
our
do?
Our fathers did.
But today's kids,
yeah,
today's parents. Yeah. Our father, if I went in the house and said, Dad, I got a flat. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Good luck with that, kid.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My spare is flat, too. Gas station's 3 blocks away. Roll the effing tire down there and have him put a plug in it.
Yeah, what is it you want me to do?
Why are you bothering me?
What do you want me to do? Handle it. Yeah, that they would have. They'd be taught how to, you know, jump start and maybe do some basic diagnostics. You can't really do too much with today's vehicles; they're all computer operated. But, you know, something older or like a snowblower, you can fiddle with the carburetor and get it going again. But just the bag itself, they would probably be like, "I don't need all that stuff."
Yeah, but meanwhile, it's like that Popeil thing: set it and forget it.
Yeah,
make them up a bag and see. This is the way that it is today. If you gave that to a kid as a present for their first car,
they'd hate you.
They would like a gas credit card would have been a lot better,
exactly.
But they'd be like, listen, I got this for you and hope you never need it, and you throw it in there and the kid's going away to college or whatever.
And the day they do need it is the day they're going to realize just how important it was. So,
and how smart you are.
Right? So, yeah, it would be a bag. It would, you know, you've got your emergency food, you got your water. You got hand warmers and foot warmers and stuff like that. And imagine you got your water bottles in the car or in the trunk. And not everyone can just keep a bag in the back. They're using the trunk space. The bottle's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to melt it to drink?
Correct.
It? Right. So you could use a hand warmer to melt your water and get that going.
Never even thought of that.
No, I never did either.
I really never even thought of that. Amazing. And I see, you know, when I go like Cabela's or you go to Walmart, they sell those hand warmers like in 10 packs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now when I was a kid, we had the hand warmer. It was like a Zippo lighter with a flame in it. Remember?
Exactly. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's right. Yeah.
But now they just, it works on some kind air. Of air.
Oxidation.
Yeah.
It's magnesium oxidizes very quickly. So they mix it with iron filings and salt. And when the air hits it, it oxidizes. Oxidization produces heat.
Now, since it's magnesium, James, couldn't you set the thing on fire? I mean, could you use that as a fire starter type of thing with a lighter if you set the magnesium on fire?
That's possible. It's a good question. I know I've tossed them in the fire after they were spent and they sparkled a little bit. But to actually use it as a fire starter is, I don't know if there would be enough magnesium.
Yeah, they probably
in
just
there.
A little bit to oxidize
it
the
might,
iron.
It's supposed to be just a chemical reaction.
When I want to talk about how much stuff James spreads out in his classes, his prepping class, when we come back.
That's pretty cool. I would like to see that.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it on!
And this segment is brought to you by Philly Firearms Training, phillyguntraining.com. Jose Morales is the man down in...
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Phillyguntraining.com. Jose is across the street from the police department in the Spring Garden section. He will show you how to fill out all your paperwork. He will educate you on all the rules and regulations in Pennsylvania carry as well as surrounding states. He's an NRA training counselor. He teaches lipstick bodyguard. He's a saber mace instructor and as well as an NRA instructor in all disciplines. So check out phillyguntraining.com.
He's got about 6 new instructors.
Yeah, God bless him. He's doing really well. I get a lot of good feedback. He also teaches the Utah non-resident CCW class, and he does the Florida non-resident CCW class.
Which we still can't use in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
right?
But it's coming. And Virginia's coming back.
Virginia is coming back.
Yeah, it was in the news yesterday. So support those who support us. So the last time James did his prepping 101 class, I go in the classroom and he's got 2 8-foot tables of stuff laid out with the backpack.
That's great.
So my first impression is, holy shit, this is overwhelming. But then I look you know, and it's packages like this Eton Light, and it's fire starter, and it's some energy bars, and it's packets of water, and it is. And when you boil it down, it's all rudimentary stuff that in total was, how much would you say?
Monetarily?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. With the inverters and stuff like that, you know, probably talking, I don't know, $100, $200 maybe.
Let's say $200.
$200. That's it.
Yeah, because it's about $200 worth of stuff, and I'm looking down and I'm like, off the top of my head, I can see 70% of this stuff you would need in a disaster, and you'd be wishing you had it.
Right.
So, like the emergency radio, there's probably $60, and the walkie-talkies, you know, if the higher end items like that, there's probably like another $50. So, adding that up, all right, yeah, maybe $350, because I've got
tops.
I've got combined has stuff bags.
Yeah, and he
on
has
the
stuff.
Table.
He has stuff that would be tier two.
Right.
If you got his tier one stuff, the must-have stuff, it's probably $150.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, but then. Being we're gun guys and OCD and we like right. to have everything.
The gadgets.
Yeah,
and stuff,
you
yeah.
know, he took it to the next level.
But. Yeah, so that's a combination of stuff I would have in my go bag, stuff that I have in my camping bag, which I double as my like most comprehensive evacuation bag, and then stuff that I have for the home. That's all been packaged up and brought to the class and spread out. So it's not just one bag that you see there.
I mean, Jonas was 30 inches and airports were closed, were crippled. What if it was 45 inches, the way the weather's been right. changing with the right. unpredictability?
Let me tell you, coming back in here after Jonas, right, my wife had come...
still a shitstorm.
It's still a shitstorm, and yeah. you can't... I was in Walmart the other day trying to get... There's nothing on the shelves. How many days after now? Almost a week.
Yeah, Tuesday I went to Trader Joe's. I got back from Vegas. Because my house was empty. I'd been gone 8 days, and I didn't shop the week before because
right,
I was going to be away.
Sure.
I walked out of Trader Joe's. I spent $22.
Their
two-tractor-trailer deliveries never yeah. made it. They were
right.
all apologizing to
right,
me.
Right.
Then I went to Stop and Shop, and I got about 40% of what I wanted. And I still haven't recovered. You know, again, I live alone. It's just me and Winston. I just need a gun and ammo and no conscience, and I can eat, you know, if I had to. But I prefer not to go that route. But
and stop and think now. Of what we talk about all the time. That was just a snowstorm. What happens when that snowstorm lasts a month?
Correct.
Yeah. If now, it was really bad, then yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead, please, James.
Now, I was thinking along the lines of a normalcy bias. A lot of people, when they wake up in the morning and they see 3 feet of snow on the ground, 2 foot of snow on the ground, they're thinking, man, I got to shovel this, I got to blow it. Every time I clear the end of the driveway, the town is going to plow me back in. Which is fine, but they're not thinking, well, if there's 2 foot of snow on the ground, there's 2 foot of snow on the roof.
Right.
So they're not they aren't really thinking about the roof collapses and Correct. Things like that. A lot of people, they had those carports that you erect in your
no
yard.
No more.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
They're flat.
Yeah.
So you got to think.
Ed Hildebrand had his carport collapse last year, I think.
Yeah, so you got to think maybe I should take the fabric part and leave the poles up kind of a thing. So
sure.
that you avoid that damage. And, you know, this is all time-related. You might not have the time to do that. Like with me, I got to be there before the storm
right,
and,
sure.
and stay there
yeah.
through it. But, yeah, if you've got 2 foot of snow on the ground, that's what you have on the roof. That's a lot of weight when you think about it, when you calculate
and,
it.
And imagine all of our listeners, for your loved ones that aren't with you, they live in an apartment, they live across town, they're in a college dorm or something. How much better would you feel at night knowing that you took his class and you had given one of those bags as a gift to your son or daughter,
right.
uncle, aunt, and
exactly.
know that they're
sure.
they're sheltered in place in their house, but
right.
you can get on the phone and say, Aunt Joan, you know that bag I gave you 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, go in the basement and get that bag and open it up and look and see what's inside. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you'll be good till
right.
I get there tomorrow. Or,
right.
You know,
right.
I mean, so important to
sure.
do that.
Even just having a flashlight when it's pitch black and there's no power is a relief
yeah.
you know,
How many,
for your mental.
Most people, when they go to get a flashlight, the batteries are dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And you brought up an important point that most people don't think about. We always talk here about, oh, buy this for your kids, buy this for your kids. But what about your parents? If
yeah.
you've got elderly parents, it's the same deal.
That's a very good point. That reminds me because, you know, my father, he's been a little ill lately. He's not so ambulatory anymore, but he can't really do anything. And my mom, you know, she doesn't even own a pair of boots because everything is always done. She doesn't have to shovel because
right.
me and my dad would do it.
Right.
So when they were stuck there for that period of time while I was at work, they started getting really worried because they couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't get to their vehicle and then drive it out and get 2 foot of snow off the vehicle by themselves. And if he needed to go to the hospital or something like that, how's the ambulance going
right.
to get
in? How's the ambulance
when the end
to
of the driveway
in?
Is plowed up?
Right. And the sidewalk.
What a ripple effect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right?
What a ripple effect that's created by
now everybody
something
in Nebraska
like
is laughing their ass at us because it's this happens every day.
They
understand how to deal with this all the.
But it's
so commonplace for them.
South Jersey, where Christy wasn't mopping, what if the bridge got washed out?
Right.
And your landlocked.
Well, down by us, it literally looked like the polar ice caps had melted because you had chunks of ice floating in seawater across the streets.
Yeah.
It's just the way it happens. It's just that abnormal high tide with a full moon and a snowstorm.
No such thing.
Never happened.
No such thing as an abnormal high tide.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Those are they've been calculated on charts for
forever.
Perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal.
That's true.
Till it comes and swallows an entire village. And they're like, that was a little abnormal.
Well, you kind of built in a flood zone. So it's, that 100-year flood?
Well, it's like with Hurricane Sandy. It was a matter of timing. It's a spring tide. It happens twice a month.
Yep.
And then you have the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows with the spring and the neap tide. So it was really just timing.
Now,
when
was the last time you heard the phrase neap tide?
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Okay, I just rolled with it.
That's great. Well, they're...
And that's why we bring guys like
experts.
That in, because I could never... Listen, I could go online and Google things to put in a bug-out bag, and I could buy all of it on Amazon.com and have it delivered, but I didn't have 4, 5, 6 hours with this guy in a room
who knows
explaining
the phrase.
Who
could just drop the phrase?
Really. Yes.
Neap tide. Yeah.
But answering my questions and answering my concerns and answering your diabetic dietary needs,
right.
He'll tell you which of the protein or energy bars are higher or low in sodium. I know it because he just knows that shit because he can't help himself because the way
true.
I am about guns,
yep.
He is about this stuff. And we identified that a long time ago with him. And that's why we've been using it. And
when I pitched it to him and I had like 12 pages of outline information,
I was like, oh shit.
This is the outline. Okay.
So
I remember you brought the book in here too. And it was, what is this? Is this a whole book? No, this is the outline for it. It's good. Okay, this guy knows his shit. Yeah,
so,
he knows his
shit.
You
need to learn some of these things. And we all think we know everything until the shit hits the fan. But I have bags everywhere. And the apartment that I live in right now, I have a little corner in the closet where I have a bunch of stuff. I have 4 cases of water. I also have, I bought a long time ago, I have one of those bathtub buddies.
Oh, yeah.
That'll hold 40
Bob.
Or 50.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Bath Bob,
yeah.
So James Hedham is going to be teaching his class on February 27th at the Woodland Park Range. And I can't recommend it enough. And we're going to have him on either before or after to discuss how well these H2O buddies work. I think it'll be
a good
test. We could probably urinate in one. Yeah, I didn't say pee. I was nice. I didn't say pee.
Yeah.
I said urinate. Oh, urinate. That's what I said to a girl once. She didn't like it.
Urinate.
She wasn't a 10. She was an 8. up, everybody. Evan Knappen, February 12th. One of 4 dates this year that he will be here. I think there's 2 seats left. February 12th, Evan Knappen's gun law seminar with a shoot, don't shoot scenario. Live fire afterwards. Meet the man, the legend himself. February 20th, we have a quick clock class. February 22nd, use of force class. February 27th, Prepping 101, James Hedham.
Yeah.
February 28th, CPR First Aid AED. February 28th, Urban Pistol 1. February 21st, Urban Carbine 1. Thank you all for your support. Talk to you next week.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC in New York, New York, and the Licensed Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my world-traveling host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, James Hedham, thank you so much for all the neap-tide information.
How do you spell that?
And the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio who put up with us, we do thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. Winston's back this week. It's just that we got to wake him up to say goodbye. Say goodbye, Winston. 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 There you go. Good boy. All right. We love you guys. See you next week.